All right, welcome to our Wednesday night Bible study. We are in Matthew chapter 26. It's been a little while since we had our evening Bible study. We've had a couple canceled because of inclement weather, but we're back. And chapter 26 of Matthew is a fairly long chapter. Let's see here. How many verses are there? 74, looks like. 75 verses. So we're not going to get through this whole chapter tonight, but there are some things I definitely want to unpack for you tonight. There's a little controversy. We're just going to study this chapter and see where the verses lead. I'm going to be in Mark chapter 14. Verses 3 through 8, I believe it is. And then also in John chapter 12, beginning at the first part of the chapter. And we are going to do some comparing of events. Now, the interesting thing is the event we're going to be looking at is the what's going on at Bethany with this pouring of this very expensive oil. They call it spikenard. And we're going to be looking at this. What's really interesting is that usually when you see a story in Matthew, Mark, or Luke, when you look at your study Bible, if you have one, if you don't have one, you should have one, it'll give you where the parallel passages are. And so there are a lot of stories in the Bible, events in the Bible, that have parallel passages in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Generally, John will be that one gospel that doesn't have a parallel passage in a lot of different areas. That's why Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they're called the synoptic gospels, meaning they're very similar. John has a little different take on everything, even chronologically, everything's a little bit different. So this is unusual to have a story that's Matthew, Mark, and John and not in Luke. It's kind of odd. I thought I would point that out. But let's start in verse 1 and see what goes on here. Now, Jesus in verse 25 had been talking about different parables. And we had the 10 virgins, and we had the parable of the talents, and we had the story of the sheep and goats judgment. And it says, "Now it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all these sayings, that he said to his disciples, 'You know that after 2 days is the Passover, and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified.'" Now, I want you to notice that. 2 days. After 2 days is the Passover. So if the Passover occurred on Friday, we're looking at Wednesday during Holy Week. "Then the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders of the people assembled at the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and plotted to take Jesus by trickery and to kill him. But they said, 'Not during the feast, lest there be an uproar among the people.'" Now, they're talking about the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and the first day of this, I think it was a 6 or 7 day feast, the first day of this is Passover. So the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread is the day of Passover. Okay, now we get to the controversial part. "And when Jesus was in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper," I bet he wasn't a leper long after Jesus saw him, but he was called apparently Simon the leper because he used to be a leper. "A woman came to him having an alabaster flask, a very costly fragrant oil. And she poured it on his head as he sat at the table. But when his disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, 'Why this waste? For this fragrant oil might have been sold for much and given to the poor.' But when Jesus was aware of it, he said to them, 'Why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, but me you do not have always. For in pouring this fragrant oil on my body, she did it for my burial.'" So apparently it went over his head and down his body. "Then he said, 'Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, What this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. Okay. I want to stop there. And now I want to start comparing. So let's go to the book of Mark 14. And I'm going to be reading from verse 3, I think, through verse 9. But before that, I want to look at verse 1 of Mark 14. It says, after 2 days, it was the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Okay, so it's the same time frame. 2 days to Passover. So we're still looking at Wednesday. And the other thing we have to remember is the Jewish day began at 6 o'clock in the evening, or some people say 6, some people say sundown itself was actually when it started, you know, which is why, if you'll remember, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus were kind of rushing to get those spices on the body of Jesus after the crucifixion to get him in the tomb before the new day started, which would have been Saturday, the Sabbath, because you're not to work on the Sabbath. And so they needed to get him in the tomb before sundown on Friday. And so that is why the women came to the tomb on Sunday morning to see if there needed to be more work done to finish the job of putting the spices on the body of Jesus, okay? So again, this day would begin around 6 o'clock p.m. That's when the new day starts. Okay, so 2 days before the Passover. So Mark agrees with Matthew right here. Then picking it up at verse 3, and being in Bethany, okay, at the house of Simon the leper, the same, as he sat at the table, a woman, doesn't give her name, came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. Then she broke the flask and poured it on his head, the same. But there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. Now, 300 denarii would have been about a year's wages. And they criticized her sharply. They criticized her for wasting that expensive oil. But Jesus said, let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do them good, but me you do not have always. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial, which was also the same thing. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. So this was almost word for word the passage that we saw in Matthew 26. The timing is the same. The house is the same. The woman is not given a name here. One passage says disciples rebuked her. Another passage says some there rebuked her. But it's very, very similar. Okay, now let's go to John chapter 12. Now, John is very interesting because a large portion of the book of John, 21 chapters in John, yet we see the triumphal entry, Palm Sunday, happen in chapter 12. So just about halfway through, a little past halfway through, we get into the Holy Week. And so the last 9 chapters of the Gospel of John are all about that last week. I think that's very interesting. But anyway, in chapter 12, beginning in the first verse, it says, then 6 days after, or excuse me, 6 days before the Passover. Now, isn't that interesting? 6 days before the Passover. That would be back to Saturday before Palm Sunday. Jesus came to Bethany, now it's the same place, the same town, where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper. There's no mention of Simon the leper here, but there is mention of Lazarus. And Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. There's no mention of Lazarus in Matthew or Mark. Then Mary, now we have the name Mary, and we have her sister Martha. We know all about this group. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard. Now it's the same name of the same oil, anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. Now notice she anointed the feet. There's no mention here of the head. There's no mention here of the body, but the feet. And she wiped his feet with her hair. There is no mention of this other woman using her hair to help cleanse Jesus. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, "Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii?" Now you see it was the same size jar, apparently, filled up to about the same amount, which you see that in stores all the time, similar containers. 300 denarii and given to the poor. This, he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial." Now that's similar. "For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not have always." So here's some similarities. Preparing for the burial, he made the statement about the poor you have always, but I will not always be around. You will not always have me. So those are similar. He doesn't say anything about this being a memorial to this woman. He doesn't say this woman. It talks about Mary in the story. Well, I guess John uses the name Mary in his narrative here. So there are differences. There are definite differences, but the big difference is it's 4 days apart. And this story about this anointing of oil in John takes place before the triumphal entry, which would have been that next Sunday, the next day, Palm Sunday, which begins the Holy Week. Whereas the two parallel passages in Matthew and Mark are midway into the Holy Week, around Wednesday, 2 days before Passover, which would have been beginning what we would call Thursday evening, beginning the evening of that Thursday. Okay, so now let's go back to Matthew 26. Let me get back there. I have a new Bible. I'm so thrilled. I've got a new Bible, but the pages stick together a little bit, so bear with me. Okay, I'm here in 26, and we're going to move on just a little further. Just a little further. I believe this is verse 14. Yes. 26. "Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, 'What are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you?' And they counted out to him 30 pieces of silver." Now, incidentally, 30 pieces of silver was the price of a slave. Isn't that something? "So from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him." Okay? From that time. That's what it says. So from that time. Now, it said in John that when it mentioned Judas, it said the one who would betray him. That's how they identified it. He's going to do this. But here it says, from that time, he sought to betray him. And then we see, when we get to the Lord's Supper itself, that Jesus talks about how Judas is going to betray him. And it would appear that he gets up and leaves after the supper, when he is singled out by Jesus. But the point that I want to make tonight in this Bible study, and I've never really heard anybody say it this way, and some people may have felt, well, why did Judas do it, you know? And I've even heard people say, well, it was a dirty job, but somebody had to do it. Okay. He had to be betrayed. He had to be crucified. And this, all this eventually had to happen. It was in God's plan. But why did Judas do it? What do we know about Judas? We know that he was the treasurer of this group. And we are told that he was dishonest and that he would take money out of the treasury for his own use. Okay. So we know that money was very important to Judas, and that he was using his contact, his association with this group to his own monetary advantage, all right? So if we go chronologically and we look at John, again, we go back to John 12, and we look at it. Let me get these thin pages here. Okay. 6 days before the Passover is when Mary took the pound of ointment and put on his feet and wiped it. And it says specifically that Judas said, why are you doing this? You're wasting 300 denarii. You're wasting a year's worth of wages. Judas himself said that. But then we also know in Matthew and Mark, it wasn't just Judas. But now, 4 days later, the other disciples are kind of joining in. Why are you doing this? This is like the second time. Now, the reason I say this is because there are many very competent and very brilliant Bible scholars who believe that these three stories are all, or three passages of Scripture are all the same event, the same story. That Matthew and Mark just simply don't give the name of Mary. But they think that these three can be combined into one event. I really don't see that. I think you have to do some biblical hermeneutical gymnastics, I guess, to do it. I'm one of those kind of guys that just because a study Bible says so or a certain scholar says so doesn't make it so. I think sometimes we can develop theories that are popular theories, and then we go to the Bible and we try to make the Bible fit the theory. Okay, we have a preconceived theory, and let's see if we can make the Bible fit it and then write a book about it or whatever. Rather than simply read the Scriptures, see what the Scriptures say, try to keep an open mind, and just let the Holy Spirit lead. Now, so we have this situation. 6 days before the Passover, Judas himself complained about the wasting of this oil that Mary put on the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. Then Matthew and Mark say 2 days before the Passover, 4 days later, it happens again. Only this woman is not identified by name, and it's at the home of Simon the leper in both Matthew and Mark. There is no mention of Lazarus. There is no mention of Martha. It's just at the home of Simon the leper, and this unidentified woman, now she's pouring the oil on top of his head and down his body. Totally different action. But what is similar is that there is an objection, but this time not just Judas, but other disciples also. So, you know, maybe in those 4 days they talked about, man, that was such a waste. And so now he's got some of the other disciples chirping with him about, oh, this is something. But then again, here we are in 26, and this hit me like a ton of bricks there in 14. 26:14. Then, after this, so to speak, after this second time, okay, 4 days apart, then one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot went to the chief priest. He initiated. He went to the chief priest, and he said, "What are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you?" He's mad, isn't he? He's mad. Why is he mad? I think he's mad because for the second time, he's seen a whole bunch of money being poured out, in his opinion, being wasted by either being poured on Jesus' feet or being poured on the top of his head. And his love for money, he can't stand it. He just can't stand it. Man, he could have put that to a lot of use. If they could have sold that instead of pouring it on his head. If you want to waste that, sell it and give it to us. I'll put it to good use. I think he was furious. Now, he may not have voiced it in front of Jesus, but I think he was furious. And he's ready. He's ready to turn him in. He's mad. Now, we find out later in Matthew, I believe it's in 27. Let's see. Where is it? Oh, yes, chapter 27, verse 3. It says, then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned, Jesus had been condemned, was remorseful and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. So this man that loved money and sold Jesus out for 30 pieces of silver, he didn't realize what they were going to do to him. He didn't realize that they were going to kill him. I think he wanted Jesus to be taught a lesson. He thought, well, maybe they'll put him in prison for a little while, straighten him out a little bit. But he did not realize that the depth of what he had done. And when he did, well, it was a big thing for Judas to go back and give that money back. He loved money, but he was so distraught, so upset. And of course, suicidal, he hanged himself. He hanged himself. But before he hanged himself, he gave back the money, which was unheard of, for Judas to do. I mean, this was a guy who loved money so much that he would dishonestly take it. And so I think that by interpreting these passages in a way that we can see two completely separate events over a span of 4 days, when we look at it as two separate events and we look at what was said both times, one time by Judas himself and the other time by Judas and other voices, other disciples, I believe we can come to the conclusion that second time there in Matthew and Mark, which was only 2 days from Passover, that second time was the straw that broke the camel's back. That was where he really lost it. I think he was very upset the first time. And the second time, he couldn't stand it any longer. And he goes right out and he says, what are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you? Like, I'm going to get something out of this. You've just wasted 2 years' wages. I'm going to get something out of this. And I really believe that was basically Judas's motivation. In other words, he literally sold out Jesus. He really sold him out. Because of his love for money. And that's all I'm going to talk about. I just wanted to go in depth on that to unpack this a little bit. You may not agree with me. You may have a great Bible scholar that you like to study who believes that it's all the same event. And I would listen to their arguments, certainly. I could be wrong about this, but it would appear that the scriptures are plain here. There's a chronological difference, clearly. And there are differences in mode, in the way names are named, and also in method, where the oil was poured. Even though a lot of what was said was similar, but it would be similar. You would expect what Jesus said to be similar, because the two events were very similar. Okay, so you would expect that. But I just wanted to point that out to you. I think the Holy Spirit's revealed that to me. And I know some people thought, why did Judas do that? What was his motivation? I think when we look at these as two separate events, we can clearly see what his motivation was. So let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for your revealing word, and we just trust the Holy Spirit to guide and direct our paths and show us things, dear Lord. And we know that mankind, all of us, are inherently evil, and Judas certainly had his faults, but the worst was his love of money, which so many people today have also. And we just pray, dear Lord, that we can learn, as always, that we can use these studies to learn from others' mistakes and to learn how we are to act as Christians and to be able to apply these lessons to our daily lives of serving you. In Jesus' name, amen.